Warning: this program contains content that may not be suitable to some listeners. It contains decency, truth, ageless wisdom, a father who cares. It's Generations with Kevin Swanson.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Generations. My name is Kevin Swanson. Welcome. It's good to have you tune in with us. I'm a father of five, and that's why I'm on the air with you. We look at the world through the eyeglasses of a biblical worldview through a generational focus. So we're looking at this thing through the long term. Now, education is a topic we bring up quite a bit on this program, and the reason is because education is important. Here's why. Because education is the way that you raise the next generation. Education literally determines the direction of society. And we've got a problem with the direction of society. 36.4% of children born without fathers, up from 5% just, 40 years ago. And we have almost 60% of children being raised in daycare today. They aren't even with their mothers during their early years. So what's going on in a nation that is turning away from their children and turning them over to these sorts of programs? Well, today we're going to talk about education because every parent has to make these choices. How are you going to educate your children? Now, one of the most popular options that many parents are considering today is the option of charter schools. And there is an increasing number of homeschoolers that are turning over to the charter school movement as the hope for the future of education. So we want to analyze charter schools today. Folks, we'll be back in just a moment to look at charter schools. Are these an option? What about the Hirsch, E.D. Hirsch approach? What about the classical approach or Montessori? Those options will be considered next. Stay tuned. Ladies and gentlemen, we are back. This is the program Generations that looks at the future through the eyes of a biblical worldview. How do we educate our children, and what's the best form of education for your child? Well, today we're going to take a look at the charter school movement, incredibly popular across the United States. Charter schools are taking off in the state of Colorado, where we live. And we want to analyze charter schools today. First question, are they effective? Well, that's a tough question. Is this an effective form of education, or is it not an effective form of education? Well, charter schools say we did the standardized testing. It turns out we're 10, 15 percentile points above the national average, so I guess we're doing really, really well. Well, part of the problem with that is that student achievement is only partially affected by school effectiveness. Most of the variation in student performance is determined by the social and economic background of the students. As it turns out, it's affected by the parent. We've been saying that on this program for nigh unto 2 years now. Parents have an incredible effect on a child's education.
So are you saying charter schools aren't so great, but charter parents are real good?
I think parents are a great concept. Now, the state hasn't agreed with that for the last 200 years because of Jean-Jacques Rousseau, who said the goal in education is get those cotton-picking kids away from their parents and adult relatives as early as possible. He didn't use cotton-picking, but he did say, you gotta get them away from those parents. That's the goal of modern socialist education. But charter schools do the very same thing. But they also engage in what is known as creaming. I just caught this on the web this morning, the term creaming. I thought it was schoolyard bullying, you know, creamed sort of thing. It turns out creaming is where you take the cream of the crop and then you leave the public schools with a riffraff.
It would be better called it skimming, where you skim the cream off the top of the milk.
Yeah, I think so. I think so. And so what they're saying is when you cream the crop and you get the best and you say, hey, we're doing a great job. Well, the only reason you're doing a great job is because you got the best kids. So how do you determine the effectiveness of any form of education? Well, you can use the standardized test, but then you don't know if your method of education is better than another method because you might have had a better crop of kids to begin with.
But that assumes that the standardized test is testing something relevant towards education.
That's true,
towards
too.
Educational goals.
That's true, too. It assumes that that we're going to test the effectiveness of education to prepare a child for life and eternity. Oops, my worldview just slipped out there. Well, let's look at them. Let's take a moment and look at the various forms of charter schools that are offered for parents in Colorado and beyond. E.D. Hirsch is an approach to education that is very popular, not just among charter schools. There are a lot of homeschoolers that are buying into E.D. Hirsch and the core knowledge approach. And let me run over this. I want to define this very carefully. Then we're going to analyze the E.D. Hirsch core knowledge approach. E.D. Hirsch taught that economic equality rests on uniformity of subject matter in school, in the view that poor people are at a disadvantage in the economic marketplace mainly because they lack baseline content knowledge. In his most recent book, The Schools We Need, he argues that the misguided ideas of progressive education are responsible for much of the academic ills of the poor because such ideas have led to anarchy in school curriculum and prevented uniformity of subject material. So his basic message is that you gotta make the content as uniform as possible. All right, so E.D. Hirsch is sort of on the socialist end of education. He is the ultimate in creating the monolithic socialist box, the one-size-fits-all education program, and he laughs, he mocks at anybody who wants to bring in this stupid principle of individuality. He says every child at a given age has got to know a certain level of facts, and he's got a list of facts in his books that he publishes.
But his premise is that, well, his goal is trying to achieve economic equality. So he is looking at the world through an economic lens exclusively. He sees that righteousness or evil is only determined by economic distribution.
Absolutely. Absolutely. He is a full-blown Marxist. He's a socialist. And his concept of education is you've got to prepare a group of people with a monolithic, standardized form of education, and you kerchunk, kerchunk, kerchunk these kids through this process in an identical fashion. This is the classic form of socialist education.
I think he's got it a little bit confused here, because the reason why some people are poor is not because of their lack of education. It's because of their lack of money. That's why they're poor.
Yes, absolutely. And as far as he's concerned, he's Marxist in the sense that he looks at the goodness and the value of men as being straight economics. That's why he wouldn't see a child with Down syndrome or a child born with the problems that Dylan and Simon had that we discussed just a week or two ago. He would say these guys are basically worthless because they have no economic value. And, of course, this is not a biblical worldview. So the problem with E.D. Hirsch is he denies a biblical worldview. He is a Marxist to the core. That is the fundamental worldview that undergirds his education program. And he denies the principle of individuality. On the positive side, he believes in doing some of the basics well. All right. That is, he wants them to be able to read. He wants them to be able to write and do some basic math. So he endorses a principle of doing the basics well. And that principle is in my book as well. But he denies the vital principles of individuality in a biblical worldview. Now, I want to move on to Montessori. Montessori is another very popular approach to education. It is not always used within the charter school movement, although there are some Montessori charter schools. But Montessori has been incredibly popular for the last 100 years. Let me give you a little background on Montessori. Marie Montessori was the one who invented it. She believed in a child's natural intelligence, involving from the start rational, empirical, and spiritual aspects. She saw development as a series of six-year periods, like repeating triangular waves, each with its own particular sensitivities. In Montessori education, children usually are grouped into multiple, multi-age classrooms spanning 3 years in order to promote adult-child continuity and close peer relationships. Its flexibility provides a matrix within which each individual child's inner directives freely guide the child toward wholesome growth. The children's innate passion for learning is encouraged by giving them opportunities to engage in spontaneous, purposeful activities with the guidance of trained adults. Through their work, the children develop concentration and joyful self-discipline within a framework of order. The children progress at their own pace and rhythm according to their individual capabilities. Isn't it interesting that Montessori takes the complete opposite approach to E.D. Hirsch? This is the individualistic approach to education. She, of course, denies the discipline of the Proverbs, compromises on the preeminence of faith in God and character, and this is the preeminent content of education according to God's Word. She says, our goal is not so much the imparting of knowledge as the unveiling and developing of spiritual energy. She assumes the goodness of mankind. She most certainly agreed with Rousseau, the father of the modern world. We've talked about Rousseau before. Rousseau being the man who wrote the modern book on education, Emile, back in the 1700s. Montessori, Marie Montessori, borrowed extensively from Rousseau. Rousseau wrote, "There is no original sin in the human heart. Never punish your pupil, for he does not know what it means to be wrong." Rousseau wanted to get those children away from parents and adult relatives as early as possible into the hands of professionals, and this is exactly what Marie Montessori did. Get them away from their parents, get them away as early as possible. That's why you have Montessori schools beginning in the preschool and kindergarten years, dotted throughout Colorado and all over America, because they want to get those children into the hands of professionals. They believe in the innate goodness of this child, so they don't believe in creating character and the use of the rod that is heavily recommended by God in the book of Proverbs. So she denies a biblical approach to education, but here's the good news. She maximizes on the principle of individuality, and because this is such an extraordinarily powerful principle, it does provide somewhat of a counter to the modern box form of education found in the socialistic approaches of the modern public schools and, of course, the E.D. Hirsch approach.
Well, what I hear through all that is that Montessori is doing a really good job of standardizing individuality.
Well, I think a better way to put it is that what she is saying is, let's give way to total anarchy. What you have on one side is the Montessori approach to education, where the individual is the God. The individual determines his own way, and it comes from his own heart. It doesn't come from the revelation of God. It doesn't come from serving God and loving God and worshiping God. It comes from learning to worship and obey and follow his own heart.
It comes from unveiling spiritual energy.
Thank you. From inside of the individual kid.
And if we can all be individuals as long as we all do it together.
So what you got here, Dave, is you've got the Montessori approach where the individual is turned into the God. You have the E.D. Hirsch approach where the state is turned into the God, or you have the more collectivistic, egalitarian approach to the extreme. That's Hirsch. Or you have the individualism to the extreme, the anarchical approach of Montessori. But now, what's the answer? Why does the world want to go to the collectivist approach or the radical individualist approach, but they don't want to go to the biblical approach, which takes the one in the many and balances it according to the revelation of the one in the many, the triune God himself, Jehovah, Yahweh? All right, folks, today we're talking about the modern charter school movement, and we've looked at the E.D. Hirsch approach, we've looked at the Montessori approach, there are a number of others, the classical approach, we've talked about that on this program. There are some good things about the classical approach, there are some bad things about the classical approach, and the main problem with these approaches, the major negative, is that the modern charter schools cannot, by definition, worship the triune God. They cannot provide a full-orbed biblical worldview. Why is that? Well, they're funded by the state. Everybody knows there's only one religion approved by the state, and that's not the religion of the true and living God. Our education system is not monotheistic today. It's polytheistic. It's humanistic at the core. That is the approved religion approved by the Supreme Court of the United States. Now, that's not to say there isn't a teacher out there from time to time slipping a little creationism in under the door and bringing it into one particular class, but the approach to education taken by the government-funded schools will reject, by definition, the Bible, because this is the God who says, "There can be no other gods before me." This is a pig-headed God.
At the very best, the state schools can put a sticker on a textbook that says that, you know, evolution might be a theory, intelligent design might be a theory. But what we don't want is a sticker in the book. We want the book that is written in the fear and admonition of the Lord.
Yeah, occasionally you're going to have a sticker on a book saying, "We might be wrong." Because you might actually have a humble teacher or a humble school board who might acknowledge, "We might be wrong in evolution." But you're not going to have an education system that comes in and says, "This is absolute truth. This is the source for truth, and we are going to establish our truth
on the revelation of God, you're going to have a lot of people saying, we're going to establish our truth on the revelation of really, really smart scientists who interpret evidence with a worldview that is completely flawless.
Unless we say that it's just the sciences that are corrupt, history, the liberal arts, they are also corrupted. They're also not taught in the fear of the Lord. And it's going to take a much more than a sticker to redeem those textbooks and to get people thinking that history is really God's unfolding of himself. It's his story using human characters.
Folks, again today on this program, we are calling for consistency. We're saying don't go to an education system that is fundamentally materialistic and humanistic at the core. A worldview that says God doesn't exist and or God cannot, is unable to speak authoritatively to the minds of men who are created in his image. We're saying be consistent. If you believe that you are something beyond a piece of cosmic dust floating around in the universe of pure chance, if you believe that you are created by a God in the image of God, then be consistent. Give your children an education in that worldview. We're going to bring up one more negative about charter schools in just a moment. Things to consider as you make one of the most important choices. This may be the most important choice you will make in your life. The education you give your children. We're going to be back in just a moment to talk about that. Hang on. Ladies and gentlemen, we are back. The program is Generations. And today, as parents, as a couple of fathers who are raising five children each, we are trying to determine what's the best education for our children. And we looked at the charter school movement with the E.D. Hirsch and the Montessori method and a few others. And, you know, Dave, except for the method and the content, the theology, the anthropology, the teleology that undergirds these systems, I think E.D. Hirsch is on track.
So except for the goal and the way they get to the goal, they're perfect.
Yeah, beyond all of that, they're doing really good. And as parents, Dave, we need to insist on a biblical theology, a biblical anthropology, a biblical teleology. We need a biblical system under the education of our children. And when E.D. Hirsch or Montessori or anybody else comes up, even if it's Jean-Jacques Rousseau, comes up to us and says, man is not fallen, man does not have a problem with sin, is that system going to be a good system of education? Of course it's not.
Well, it can't have the right goal. The goal of education is not to make smart sinners.
Right. It's to glorify God and enjoy him forever. If you're a Christian, look it up. 1 Corinthians 10:31. That's the goal. You need to walk in to the school, the charter school, that you're going to use for your children and ask them a simple question. What is the goal of this school program? If they say the goal is to create children who will glorify God and enjoy him forever, if the goal is to fear God and keep his commandments, I think you're on the right track. Now, my guess is the average Montessori school, E.D. Hirsch school, public school, charter school, is not going to put that on the front of the brochure. In fact, I have not seen it on any website. Folks, I know that there are hundreds of thousands of children that are being moved back in the charter school movement from the homeschooling movement because parents are thinking that they cannot homeschool their children. They're buying into the Rousseauian concept that we've got to get these children away from the parents and put them under professionals. This was Jean-Jacques Rousseau, the man that abandoned five of his children at the steps of an orphanage and then went and wrote a book called Emile, a book that would inform modern education. And when we go back into the statist education system, we are buying back into a system that does not agree that the beginning of wisdom is the fear of God. We're buying back into a system where this government is going to want to control the education of our children because every dollar the government gives, they are reclaiming the right to control the education of our children. Every dollar that we take from the government for the education of our children is a reminder to parents, you are not responsible. You are not the parent. The state is the parent, and as so, the state will control the education of your children. So I just want to issue a very gentle warning to parents who are considering taking state funding for the education of their children. This is a state that does not agree on the fundamentals of a biblical worldview. This is a state that wants to wrest the control of education away from parents. This is the worldview of Jean-Jacques Rousseau. Well, as we wrap up the program today, let me encourage parents to get my book, Upgrade, The 10 Secrets to the Best Education for Your Children. I cover every one of the principles, the major principles that constitute a quality education, a good education, an effective education, and an education that works and accomplishes the goals that God wants us to accomplish in education. These are all covered in my book, Upgrade. You can get the book by calling 877-842-CHECK. That's 877-842-CHECK. Or checkbooks.com on the web, checkbooks.com. You can interact with this program by emailing me, kevin@check.org. That's kevin@check.org. And you can hear the program anytime, anywhere in the world at kevinswanson.com. You know other parents who need to listen to this program. Tune them in to kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we lay down a vision for the next generation.